By the Still Waters. Written by Orphan Account. Read by Opal Song. Fandoms Dragon Age Inquisition, Dragon Age 2. Rating Mature. Relationships Fenris, Male Hawk, and Female Lavellan, Solus. Also tagged for Meryl / Elven History. Solus / No One Being Impressed. Freedom / Responsibility. Rivalmance. The Fade. Elves. Kirkwall. Hawk, no! And Spirit Quests for Your Rubbish Ex. Chapter 1. Skyhold. Fenris came to Skyhold in the height of summer, when the snowcaps on the mountains had shrunk to lacy white crowns on the dark peaks, and the trees in the garden were blooming. He had a greatsword slung across his back and a letter folded against his heart. He was welcomed among the crowds at the open gate by some personable young enthusiasts in Inquisition uniforms. Their green hoods were tipped back to show the broad smiles on their faces. Human, elf, dwarf, there were a dozen of them, greeting everyone individually, even the children, subtly sorting the pilgrims and merchants and potential recruits, and sending them off in different directions according to their kind. Fenris heard Orlesian accents, Ferelden, one or two marchers among them, even the rumbling consonants of Orzammar from a handsome young dwarf whose special responsibility appeared to be scooping out dwarven merchants from the crowd and speaking to them passionately until they went away towards the Inquisition marketplace with bemused smiles. It was almost impossible to miss the soldiers who waited by the gate. They seemed too few to guard against such a mass, but the bridge was defensibly narrow, and there were two muscular Talvashoth women among the apparently unconcerned guards, each of them worth half a dozen ordinary soldiers. This was not careless hospitality. It was an elf who greeted Fenris, a boy with the markings of the Dales on his face. Like for like, Fenris thought with some grim amusement. This was not the first time a Dalish elf had assumed his markings were the Vasalin of some obscure or reclusive clan. "Welcome to the Inquisition, Lethalon," the young man said. "What brings you to us?" He was visibly startled by Fenris's harsh, half-Tevinter accent when he replied, "I had a letter from Varric Tethras. Is he here?" The boy recovered fast. "Yes, sir. I mean, no, sir," he said. "Not Lethalon now," Fenris noted. "That is, Master Tethras is with the Inquisition, but he's not at Skyhold just now. He's due back later tonight. There's space to wait in the tavern, and food and drink." The eyes of the Talvashoth women followed Fenris and his greatsword as he passed them, and someone murmured something to someone else before a runner went darting off into the depths of the fortress. No armed stranger was to wander Skyhold unobserved, Fenris deduced. The place was welcoming, but not stupid. Fenris dug into his scant hoard of coin to obtain an ale from the dour dwarven bartender. The inn was crowded and noisy. An indifferent minstrel was singing Orlesian favorites, and most of the ground floor seemed to be the domain of a band of drunken mercenaries who were being roared at by a Tevinter sergeant. Fenris winced as they burst into untuneful song. The minstrel rolled her eyes, but switched her playing to an accompaniment. The whole place was like, and yet unlike, the Hanged Man. Smaller, a little, and lacking Kirkwall's fine patina of ground in dirt and ancient bloodstains. But the true difference was in the people. The Hanged Man had been a gathering place of the poor and the criminal. Faces had been grim or tired or dangerous. There were poor here, too, and Fenris did not doubt there were aspiring pickpockets, not with such rich pickings to be had. But the faces in the Herald's Rest had a light in them, even the scarred and the exhausted, even those which had set, by long habit, into cruel lines. All of them glowed with an inner certainty. Fervor, Fenris thought. It made him think of Sebastian. He sat at the bar and drank the ale and let himself feel the quiet stirrings of jealousy. But causes were not to be trusted. Anders, after all, had had a cause, and Anders' free mages now served this Inquisition. There were men and women in mages' robes everywhere. "And I haven't seen any abominations yet, Fenris, so maybe give them the benefit of the doubt," he imagined Hawk saying. He could see Hawk here, trying and failing to crack jokes with the bartender, not even attempting to make a secret of the staff across his back. It had never really been a secret in Kirkwall either. But here there would be no unspoken defiance about it, only simple freedom. Hawk truly had been here, not so long ago. Fenris had not seen him in over a year. He tried to picture it. Hawk, cheerful and free among his brethren. He would have liked it here. He must have liked it here. Fenris ducked his head and hunched his shoulders as two young women in robes brushed thoughtlessly past him, conversing at volume about their research. The bartender slid another ale in front of him. Fenris looked up. "On the house," the dwarf said, "so long as you do me a favor and don't start telling me your problems." "I have no intention of telling you my problems," said Fenris. The dwarf looked unimpressed. "That's what they all say, and half an hour later they're crying into their beer because Daddy never loved them enough. You look like a sad son of a bitch to me. Keep it to yourself and I'll keep the ale coming." He was as good as his word. Fenris kept his side of the bargain, drank the ale, spoke to no one. The letter remained where it was, folded against his breast. He did not need to take it out. He had it by heart now. It had reached him only a month ago, sent long before that, but it had taken Varric's network of contacts some time to track him down. The messenger had caught up with him near Ostwick, where he had just finished terminally discouraging a pack of Defender slavers who had started a lucrative business venture acquiring superfluous alienage children. It had been their parents who sold them. Fenris had been in no pleasant state of mind after that affair. The woman had not been pleased at having to chase Fenris all over the free marches, and she handed him the letter and walked away without another word. Varric's hand was instantly recognizable, a writer's scrawl. Only familiarity allowed Fenris to decipher it at all, and it took him time. Reading was never easy for him, and he was out of practice. The days in Hawk's study in Kirkwall with his histories of Andraste and the elves now seemed very long ago. So, time, spent sitting at the bar in some marcher village tavern, running his finger along the lines of Varric's spiky lettering, more blotched than usual. Time, a long time, for the realization to set in, as he laboriously deciphered the next word. And the next, grimly forcing himself to keep going in the hope that the letter would end with a surprise after all. Bodily in the Fade. Well, that was not dead. That damn magister thing. They had survived once. Biggest demon I ever saw. But demons could be killed. You know what Hawk was like. Andraste help me. With all the crazy shit he survived in Kirkwall, I never thought... Fenris put the letter down then, and buried his face in his hands for a long time, careless of the human travelers who eyed him curiously. He read the rest afterwards, keeping his hands steady on the parchment, deciphering around the occasional blotches that were perhaps tear stains. Varric had written, "I'm sorry," and "nothing to bury," and "he would have wanted you to know." More as well, rambling as Varric the wordsmith seldom rambled. Memories of pleasanter times in Kirkwall, recollections of old jokes and conversations, uncertain threads of thought leading nowhere unless it was back to the heart of grief. Varric had known Hawk longer than Fenris. In many ways, he had known him better. Fenris had, after all, turned away from all Hawk wanted from him, and Hawk had learned the lesson, and turned Fenris away, too, in time. "For the best," he'd said, "for both their sakes." And how should they ever have been lovers after all? Fenris told himself savagely, with the City of Chains behind him and a free future ahead. What would ever have become of them, the apostate battle mage and the elf who hated everything he stood for? Hawk was right. It was better this way. And then he'd had the letter, and suddenly a year of hunting slavers and protecting the innocent had turned into a thin and worthless thing. He would have taken a lifetime to have that year back and not let Hawk leave him this time. He sat by the bar in the Herald's Rest, nursing his third ale for a long time, thinking about the letter. He hardly noticed the place growing quiet around him. "Not going out to see her, then?" Fenris looked up. "Am I interrupting? Looked like you had a good brood going on there." The dwarf jerked his head at the door. "The raven came in an hour ago. There's space to watch from the courtyard still." The famous Inquisitor. Varric's cause. Looked at one way, the woman who had saved the world. Or another, the woman Hawk had died for. Fenris had heard stories, encountered Inquisition uniforms here and there in the marches. If he'd thought the Inquisitor truly was the Herald of Andraste, the Maker's hand in this world, perhaps he would have come to Skyhold sooner. He supposed he didn't know for sure that she was not. Maybe the Maker really had chosen out a champion to face down wickedness. Was it the Maker's hand, then, which had blotted out Hawk? Was it the Maker who had looked down upon a fearless and impudent mage and chosen out an end, a punishment, substituting one champion for another, leaving Hawk to pay his debts to a demon, far away from any home, alone? Alone as he would not have been, had Fenris not allowed himself to be sent away. Was this, then, Fenris's punishment for whatever he had done? Stupidity, inflexibility, something? No, you did not need to be a Chantry sister to know that this kind of thinking was purest arrogance. Surely the Maker was not so petty. Fenris drained his ale and went out to the torchlit courtyard to stand among the watching crowd. He knew when the Inquisitor was on the bridge, long before he could actually see her. The murmur started low and close to the gate, and moved through the waiting crowd like a wind through the trees. People craned to see, pushed close to the edges of the walls, held their children aloft to get a better view. Fenris slipped into a space left between two burly Templars, both of them wide-eyed like children. The Maker's Chosen, when she appeared, looked a lot like an ordinary elven woman. Younger than Fenris had expected. Tired-looking, which was not surprising at this hour. There was a staff across her back. Fenris curled his lip in automatic distaste. Nothing he had seen in his life had led him to any high opinion of the self-control of Dalish mages. They were no better than the rest of their kind. The Inquisitor nodded and smiled at a few people, but she did not appear to know many of the crowd that waited breathlessly to see her. The motley company with her might have stood in for a cross-section of Thedas. The huge Kunari was perhaps the most impressive-looking, but Fenris instinctively glanced at the man dressed in the height of Minrathus fashion. He was no doubt freezing to death. Idiotic. What was a lordling mage of Tevinter doing here? Varric was among the last through the gate. He was chatting as he went to a slender youth in a tubig hat. Something made him look up. Perhaps he felt Fenris's gaze. At any rate, when their eyes met, Fenris stopped talking to the boy, stopped advancing with the others. He stood where he was, looking up at Fenris as Fenris looked down at him. And when the Inquisitor and her followers had passed by and the eager crowds had exhaled their satisfaction and gone back to their business, he was still standing there, waiting in the dusk. Fenris picked his way down the stairs, taking his time. He did not know at first why he was walking so slowly. Varric did not advance to meet him either, and it was not until Fenris was standing right in front of him that he knew why neither of them had hurried towards what should have been a welcome reunion. Fenris said, "It is true, then." It was what he had come to Skyhold to say. He had meant to make it a question, but Varric's expression told him that was a waste of time. It was true. Varric bowed his head, and it was true. Hawk was gone. Fenris had not known until that moment that he had still been hoping for a miracle. "Ah, hell," Varric muttered after a moment when both of them were silent with the weight of it. And then he was suddenly putting an arm around Fenris, a brief, rough, armored embrace, and he said, "It's good to see you, Broody. Wish it weren't like this, but listen, let me wash the road off and then we'll drink. I could use a drink or six." It was after midnight, and both of them were travel-weary. Fenris nodded anyway. "No one else here knew him," Varric said, as the sun began to climb the pale mountain sky some hours later. He was, Fenris thought vaguely, very drunk, although possibly not as drunk as Fenris. The Inquisition had a surprisingly good wine cellar. At least one of the empty bottles on the table was a magnificent Tevinter vintage, the sort of thing Darius would cheerfully have murdered for. "That's what gets me. The people here, they're good. They're good people, but no one else knew him." Fenris picked up the Tevinter wine bottle and turned it over in his hands. Hawk, infinitely loyal, had died for strangers. He thought about this for a while. Then he hurled the bottle against the wall. It shattered into 100 sharp pieces, which gleamed in the pale pre-dawn light. "They had no right," he said. "Your Inquisitor had no right. He was not..." He stumbled. "Not hers to spend," he wanted to say. Hawk had not been Fenris's either, in the end. "I don't know if she could have stopped him, Fenris," Varric said. "You didn't see it." "I should have seen it," said Fenris, and it burst out of him. "I should have been there." "What, and died too?" "Yes. Yes." He stopped short, breathed out hard. "He should have died too. No, instead, he should have been there and died instead, rather than live with this." "Bullshit," Varric said, heartfelt if slightly slurred. But Fenris wasn't listening. He got to his feet. Varric frowned blearily at him. "What, where are you going?" He tipped his bottle over. "Damn, no more brandy." "Where is she?" Fenris demanded. "Who?" "Your Inquisitor," Fenris said. "Where is she?" Varric refused to tell him, but a moment's thought and it was obvious. The whole fortress climbed to a peak, and where better for an apostate mage to keep her lair than in the heights of an ancient tower? It was surprisingly easy to slip through the door heading up. The great hall was nearly empty at this hour, all the painted popinjays of Orlais still abed. Varric followed him into the hall and tried to stop him. He grabbed pointlessly at the spiked edges of Fenris's armor and then started swearing when his fingers were pricked. Finally, he sagged into the nearest chair and muttered, "Andraste's ass, she can handle you." If Fenris had been sober, perhaps he would have thought better of storming up the stairs and bursting into the Inquisitor's private quarters. Then again, perhaps not. He was fully prepared to drag her out of bed. What a bed it was. Extravagant, carved, cushioned, empty. Fenris stared at it for a moment or two. "Can I help you?" said a voice behind him. He turned. The tired elven woman he had seen march into Skyhold late last night was standing by the high balcony doors with folded arms. The rising sun threw colored light through the stained glass windows and mottled her plain leggings and jacket with jewel tones. She looked at Fenris for a moment and then said, "Ah, Varric's friend." It might have been the bright light or the chilly air blowing through the open doors or the Inquisitor's cool demeanor, but Fenris felt rapidly much more sober. "Inquisitor Llewellyn," he said. Llewellyn lifted an eyebrow. "Aren't introductions a wonderful thing? Welcome to my bedroom. Please make yourself at home. Don't mind me. Maybe tell me your name."
"I am called Fenris."
A name that Darius had given him, as one might give a name to a dog. But still, the only name Fenris had that felt true. "Oh," said the Inquisitor. "Then, Hawk's friend, I should have said."
"You know who I am?"
"Varric's mentioned you," Llewellyn said. "And I didn't know him for very long, but so did Hawk."
She did not look sympathetic, precisely, or kind, but she folded her arms and she said,
"Sit down."
This woman had risen from nothing to become leader of a force that shook the world. She spoke with authority, and Fenris had not slept. He sat down abruptly on the closest surface available, which was the pompous, over-elaborate bed. She followed his gaze for a moment, as he frowned at the carvings.
"Isn't it terrible?" she murmured. "Comfy, though."
Then she looked straight at him.
"What do you want to know?"
"You will tell me, just like that, there is no price?"
Llewellyn shrugged. "I understand wanting to know."
Fenris licked his lips. "How did he look? What did he say? Why did he... why?" "You left him to die," he said.
"For what it's worth, which I imagine is very little, it wouldn't have been my first choice. I do try to get people out alive."
"Yet you left him."
"Someone had to cover our escape," she said. "Hawk volunteered."
"Of course he had." Fenris closed his eyes. He had already known this. It had been in Varric's letter. Another reason he should have been there. He could have taken the burden from Hawk, given himself first. He would have been glad to do it, proud to do it.
"He wasn't the only volunteer," Llewellyn continued. Her voice seemed very far away. "But he was the only one I thought had any hope of surviving."
It took Fenris a moment. He was still trapped in the agonies of imagining. If he'd been there, if he had seen what Hawk intended. And then his eyes snapped open, and he said, "Surviving?"
Llewellyn still watched him with that steady, unsympathetic gaze. "Don't mistake me. I really doubt he did. I just thought that out of all of us, if anyone could last more than 10 minutes alone in the Fade with an angry demon on top of him, it would be the champion of Kirkwall."
Then he might yet live," Fenris said.
His gaze dropped to Llewellyn's famous hand. The green mark was a mere discoloration, like an old bruise. He had heard stories of green flame.
"He might be alive. You can go back for him."
Llewellyn held up her hand, and in a gesture that was the same across Thedas. "Stop." As she did it, the mark suddenly flared bright. The flame was under the skin, and it turned her hand translucent as a wraith. Fenris stared. "This thing was created using a magic I don't understand, by a monster who I suspect didn't understand it either," Llewellyn said. "A monster I believe you've met."
"Corypheus," said Fenris grimly. He remembered that warden prison well.
"Right. Then you know he was, by his own account, one of the magisters who assaulted the Golden City. He made this mark with the intention of ripping the Fade open and doing it again. I have no idea how it works.
I don't know anyone who does. And the last time mortals went blundering through the realm of dreams with no clue what they were doing, they created the Blight.
You could go back for him, Fenris said.
I could.
But you will not.
She nodded. I won't, no.
He stood up. Then there is nothing more to say.
The weight of the knowledge was descending on him as he blindly made for the stairs.
Hawk might live, almost certainly did not, but might, and he would never know, never find him, never be sure.
The magisters of Tevinter are great thieves of magic, said Llewellyn to his retreating back.
It meant nothing. Fenris paused all the same. He did not understand why she was still speaking to him. She had made herself clear.
Or, if you prefer, great researchers,
Llewellyn said.
They learned a great deal from the wreck of Arlathan. I have reason to believe they stole a great deal from the wreck of Arlathan.
I care nothing for Arlathan, said Fenris.
But he turned around.
Llewellyn had not moved. The light through the stained glass still painted her in jewel colors. She shrugged one shoulder.
Every magic I have encountered that involves traveling into or close to the Fade was originally the providence of the ancient elves, she said.
This, her hand lifted,
was made by Corypheus, but he used an artifact of our people.
Your people, Fenris said.
She rolled her eyes. Sure. If you prefer. You're as bad as Sarah. Now, let me be quite clear. I have no intention of looking for Hawk, even if I thought it was safe. Hawk is only one man, and the Inquisition is for Thedas.
She paused.
But if you wanted to look for him.
Fenris caught his breath.
There are two people I can think of who might know anything, Fenris said. Experts. On the Fade, on the history of Elvenon. Unfortunately, a grimace, one of them has vanished. And if all the resources of the Inquisition can't find him, I doubt you can.
And the other? Fenris demanded.
Something from my own history, for once. Not an Inquisition thing. There is a criminal, said Llewellyn, exiled from the clans. She was the blood mage who murdered Clan Sabre and its keeper. Last I heard, she was living in Kirkwall. A very dangerous woman. Possibly insane, actually. But I met her once at Arlothven, and if anyone could help you...
Meryl?
Oh, you know her? Said Llewellyn. Well, that saves one of Leliana's people a trip to look her up. There's your lead. She smiles thinly. Take it and get out of my bedroom.
Yes, said Fenris. He added abruptly, thank you.
She looked as surprised to hear it as he was to say it. You're welcome, she said. Listen, I hope you find him. I liked him.
Fenris nodded. He did not trust himself to speak. Everyone liked Hawk. Even he, with all his reasons to despise him. Even he. Back to the road, then. There was no question in his mind about it. If there was even the tiniest chance, he had to pursue it. Back to the road, to Kirkwall, and to Meryl.
Oh, and... said Llewellyn as he turned once more to leave.
Fenris looked over his shoulder.
Llewellyn took a deep breath. If you do make it into the Fade, she said rapidly, and you happen to bump into an arrogant, condescending, bald-headed prig wandering around in his dreams like he hasn't a care in the world when... Well, if you see him, do me a favor. Tell him the Inquisitor would like a word.
Fenris raised an eyebrow. Just a word?
Maybe several words, she said.
She bared her teeth.
I don't sleep much. I've had a lot of time to think about it.
There were plenty of beds in Skyhold, and Fenris, after some inquiries, found himself an empty pallet tucked into an attic to sleep on. He would need the rest for the journey north. He could buy supplies in the fortress's marketplace when he woke, and be on his way before nightfall.
He had no wish to linger in this place. No doubt its various watching eyes would be pleased to see him go. A stocky figure called out to him at the gates. Fenris stopped, startled. Varric looked hungover, but he was dressed to travel.
"Good, there you are," he said. "The Inquisitor filled me in. If we hurry, we should make it to the western shore of Lake Callanhad by the day after tomorrow. We'll be just in time to catch up with a merchant guild's caravan that's going our way."
"A caravan?" said Fenris. "Well, I'm not planning to walk the whole way to Kirkwall," Varric said. "You can if you want, but this dwarf prefers to travel like a civilized person."
"What of the Inquisition?"
"Are you kidding?"
"Listen," said Varric. "When we started, there were six of us and a couple of shacks, and the whole thing was held together with hope and bits of string. Now look at it."
He jerked his head back at the bustling, near-bursting fortress.
"This place is telling its own story. Couldn't tell it any louder. It doesn't need me."
He shouldered Bianca a little more firmly.
"Come on, let's go get Hawk."